Yesterday, we visited Toledo, Ohio, to see what a new administration might mean for Syrian refugees. Today, we're going to spend time with one young man whose story is not typical for a refugee. He lives in a house with three other guys who decided they wouldn't mind having a refugee for a roommate. They're all in their 20s. Three of them are recent graduates from the University of Toledo. Mohammed Rafai is a butcher from Syria. It's a weeknight, and Mohammed just got home from work. He's watching his roommates play around on guitars. They have a small basketball hoop in the living room. The ball is bouncing off everything, rarely going through the hoop. In the year and a half since Mohammed moved in, he's learned English from the Americans, including the lyrics to some top 40 hits. In return, he taught them some of his favorite Arabic pop tunes. They generally avoid talking about more difficult things. Earlier in the day, the guys made an exception for us while Mohammed was at work.
This is by far the most depth we've ever gone into it. And if Mo was here, we probably wouldn't, because he doesn't like the topic.
Doug Walton, Andrew Trumbull, and Johnny Zeller sit around a small dining room table with us. The topic is politics, and whether Mohammed will ever be reunited with his family. That's what makes his story so atypical. He was the only one of his family allowed into the United States as a refugee. His siblings and parents are still in Jordan, waiting for approvals. They've been there since the family fled Syria in 2011. Mohammed is now trying to get a green card, so if they can't come to the U.S., at least he can go visit them.
Is it strange to see a national, global news story like the presidential election affect someone in your house so directly?
So we actually got a flyer from Trump.
That's Johnny Zellers.
And it had like three big issues. I forget what the first two were. But the third one was like, stop the influx of dangerous refugees from Syria. Is like the biggest bullet point. And I was like, wow. I was like, no, we want more of them. Like, we have one. I have one in my house right now. Like, I could go say hi to him.
The guys in this house lean conservative. They all take their Christian faith seriously. None of them voted for Trump. It was a mix of Clinton and third party votes. They didn't even know who each other voted for until we all started talking about it the other day.
Yeah, this is Andrew. And it was weird to have like a vote in a situation that felt like we were voting for people who were helpless. Like, usually we vote on like jobs or whatever. And so like for me, I'm like, that's not a big deal. Like, I'll find a job, I'll make things work. Whoever gets elected, they're not gonna change things that drastically.
The guys don't own a TV. So on election night, they all went into Doug's room and huddled around their phones with Mohammed to watch the results come in.
So we were all kind of together, just like kind of hugging him and like just kind of watching it all go down.
We didn't really know how to respond, I feel like. I mean, what do you tell him? He definitely kind of got sad a little bit, just thinking of like, okay, maybe his family may not be able to like ever come here. That's like the biggest hope that he's had like this past year. It's just like, oh, I hope my family comes. Now Trump elected, it's like, oh, those chances go down like a lot.
Mohammed is a butcher at a new Middle Eastern supermarket and restaurant in Toledo. He took a break from work to talk with us. He video chats with his family in Jordan about once a week. He shows them the snow on the ground in Ohio, and they tell him how proud they are that he's learning English and working.
Do you talk about when they might be able to come to the United States, or is that something that you've just decided not to talk about anymore?
I like it because they come in here, but I don't know how. I need to be safe and close to me, my family, but I can't do anything.
How does that make you feel?
I feel bad for they not with me. But I can't do anything for help him.
I need to point out that when we first met Mohammed a little over a year ago, he barely spoke any English. He learned the terms that a butcher uses every day, and that was about it.
Chicken legs, chicken breast, steak, lamb, beef.
Today, he looks confident. He doesn't use an interpreter when he talks to us. I ask what he'll do if he sees his family.
I sit with him and watch TV and drink tea, drink coffee. And my mom do good food. Yeah, I miss him.
We asked the State Department about Mohammed Rafai's situation. Just like a year ago, they told us they don't comment on specific cases. But veterans of refugee work say Mohammed's situation is not normal.
The situation you've described is very unusual.
Eric Schwartz ran the State Department's refugee resettlement program earlier in the Obama administration. He's now a dean at the University of Minnesota's Humphrey School of Public Affairs. He says once you're over 21, like Mohammed, your case is considered on its own. But even then, grown children are rarely separated from their parents and siblings.
And it would be very unusual for them not to be departing and coming to the United States together.
It may have just been an oversight. Schwartz says an immigration lawyer might be able to sort out what happened, but Mohammed and his family don't have one.
This is a program that involves so many tens of thousands of individuals that sometimes, you know, mistakes or problems do arise, and the way they get fixed is somebody asks about them and somebody presses it.
Mohammed fears that his window is closing as the days tick down to Trump's inauguration. The office that issues green cards has told him to stop calling. And that's changed the way the other guys in this house think about their future.
Like before, it's just like, oh, Mo's here, his family will come, and then I'm like, we'll all move on with our lives. We'll all move away or like get different jobs or I don't know, and then Mo will have his family. But now it's like his family may never come.
We've talked about this in a hypothetical way, and Mo does not want that conversation. He doesn't even want to acknowledge that could happen because the thinking about this family being broken up, that like leaves him lost at sea in a way. But like we don't know what's going to happen, so I don't know what's going to be asked of me as his brother. But I guess I'm just more aware that he may have more need for support than he even does now.
That's Doug Walton and Johnny Zellers, along with Andrew Trumbull, in the home that they share with Syrian refugee Mohammed Rafai, a man they now think of as their brother.